The scripture says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give to everyone that asks of you an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with humility and with reverence. That's the point of the whole Bible Answer Man program, to give reasons for faith, answers to questions. We're going to have special guests with us in just a few minutes. We have two young people, Keith and Sean, who spent 5 years on the staff of Scientology, and they're going to be talking to us about the cult of Scientology, what it really is, what it means, what it can do to the lives of people, what it has done to many other people, and where Scientology goes off where biblical theology is concerned. We're going to be talking about that with them. We're going to have a great time going into the Word of God together. Perhaps you can think about questions for Keith and Sean. Now, you've been talking about Scientology a lot because of the death of L. Ron Hubbard, and people are interested in Scientology, a rapidly growing cult. We're going to have an opportunity to talk about that, so you'll be thinking about questions. If you're an ex-Scientologist, you're going to meet people here who know just where you're coming from. If you're a person that may be going into Scientology, wait a minute before you do, before you fill out that little application and answer all those personal questions. Be careful. You are heading right into the heart of a non-Christian cult. So we're going to talk about that, the cult of Scientology, and how Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, can deliver people from the cult of Scientology and from the kingdom of the cults as a whole. If you're out there and you have been approached by Scientologists to get audited, if you're out there and you've been given a little pink slip of paper which gives you a number of questions, if you've talked to people or heard about Scientology, you've seen the big ads on TV for Dianetics, which is a new modern way of mental health, all of this is the cult of Scientology founded by the late L. Ron Hubbard. Back in the 1950s, I saw Dianetics when it first came off the press. I read it, and I said only a madman would believe this because this man is insane. And the psychiatrists and psychologists of the day agreed with me. It turned out that Hubbard had had considerable mental treatment and was himself a very sick man. But as a science fiction writer, he popularized Scientology, which was a religion derived from the book Dianetics. Now, the reason that he did it was to get the cloak of religion. He later, at the end of his life, said it was the biggest mistake that he ever made. He never should have gone into religion at all. He should have stayed with psychology, pop psychology, and with some of his esoteric occultic views. But he recognized that too late, the Church of Scientology had come into existence. Reader's Digest exposed the cult of Scientology in two blistering articles. And there are a number of publications. I believe recently Forbes magazine came out with an analysis that was devastating. Now, the fact is that Scientology is a non-Christian cult. We're not talking about Scientologists who are nice people, gentle people, sincere, dedicated, earnest people. We're not talking about that. Because there are people like this in all cultic structures. It won't save you. What saves you is whether or not you have come to a saving relationship to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether you've been spiritually reborn. And in Scientology, that is just the opposite of the truth. We have with us people who are well qualified to speak on this subject. They're writing a book entitled Escape from Scientology, in which I plan to write an introduction for if they'll let me do it. I think it's something very important. Welcome to our microphone, Keith and Sean Scott.
Welcome, Dr. Martin.
We're glad that you're here.
Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Now, you have a ministry called Cults Awareness Ministry, which is Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. Anybody listening in right now who wants information on Scientology, how to get out of it, how to avoid getting into it, how to witness to people who are into it, write to Cults Awareness Ministry. Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. We'll give that address a little bit later on for those that are just tuning in. But the cult awareness ministry is something God has led you into. Keith and Sean, why don't you just share with us how you got into Scientology and what it's really like when you're in there. You were, as far as I'm able to tell, individuals who were pretty high in the organization, 5 years on staff in a major Scientology organization here in California. Go ahead and tell us about what really goes on.
Well, that's true, Dr. Martin. I was called the Hubbard Executive Secretary, in charge of hiring and firing and the raising of finances and the monthly magazine and all that at the Los Angeles organization. How I got into it, though, I have to go back quite a number of years. In my family, my mom was a Christian and my father was an atheist. So, and he was an atheist that believed in Scientology. So, usually when Sunday would come around and we had to go to church, my dad would say, oh, that church is a bunch of hooey, and really what you should believe in is Scientology. And this, my mom and dad had a lot of fights about it. Well, being a boy and my father, I was impressionable to him. I remember at age 5 and 6 holding on to the E-meter cans and my dad asking me about past life situations.
Now, you have to stop for a second here because people listening don't understand this. What is an E-meter can? How do you get into this thing now?
Well, an E-meter is one of the religious devices, quote-unquote, that Scientology uses, and really all it is something like a lie detector. And you hold on to electrodes, which are nothing more than V8 juice cans with the paper taken off. That's how sophisticated it is. And as you...
Enormously revealing.
Yes. As you talk to your counselor while holding these cans, this E-meter needle moves and supposedly gives guidance to the counselor as to what area you should talk about.
And counselors are called auditors, is that right?
Yes, auditors. Okay. Well, my father had a big influence on my life, and though my mother and my grandmother were very strong Christians, I remember at the age of 8 being at an old missionary church down in Cleveland, Ohio. And that day, the pastor asked for anyone who wanted to give their life to the Lord just to come forward. And at age 8, I remember just getting up and thinking, well, that's what I should do. I should give my life to the Lord. And I believe that the Lord honored that decision of mine. Even though I did stray, he kept his hand upon me and my life. And
Amen.
He was able to bring me out of Scientology. Well, shortly after graduating high school, I had experimented with drugs and just was pretty confused about what I should do with my life. And my father there again said, well, why don't you get really into Scientology? That should really straighten out your life and you'll know all about what you want to do. Well, so I flew to Los Angeles and joined something called the Sea Organization. And this, it's hard to explain to someone who doesn't know about Scientology because it's a whole sub-language, sub-culture. They've got so many things you could talk about.
This is very important for our listening audience to understand. Scientology is a subculture, a cultic subculture within our own. It has its own ethics, its own morality, mm-hmm. its own language, which means that they, Scientologists, can talk and sound exactly like us, but their meanings are totally different. Would you say that that's accurate?
That's true, and also they can use words that will just go right by you, and they can have their own conversation. You wouldn't have any idea what they're talking about. None whatsoever.
Secret type of language.
Yeah, and this is one of the rules in Scientology is don't use Scientology terminology around people who aren't Scientologists because it will confuse them and make them not want to come into Scientology. So they make every effort to talk normal English when they're around people who are not Scientologists.
Doesn't this create a type of religious and psychological paranoia? I mean, if what kind of mentality is it that has to use a subcultural language in order to avoid? What are they afraid of?
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Martin. I believe Ron Hubbard started the paranoia throughout the whole organization. He was got to be the most paranoid person on the face of the earth, and as it turned out that Scientology is always afraid of someone finding out they're doing something. Just on the subject of paranoia, I have to relate this incident. While I was on staff one time, this was just prior to before it was public knowledge that Scientology had purchased the old Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles. That was hush, hush, no one could know. But
yeah, that's the one with the big cross on the front
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Painted
yeah.
blue.
Right.
Yeah, the whole building. Well, I was on one of the project forces that was restoring this hospital into an office building. And they said it's absolutely top secret. No one can find out that this is going to be purchased by Scientology because then the IRS is going to jump on us and the whole community will come down if
Why are they
know.
So frightened of the IRS?
I don't know. Maybe it's because, like you were mentioning earlier, it's supposedly a religious... And they get a lot of tax breaks as a result of that.
I believe they're afraid of the IRS because the IRS is on to the fact that they don't deserve the right to be a nonprofit religious group.
And the IRS are they still classified as such?
To my knowledge. I read an article in the Forbes magazine that Ron Hubbard was about to be taken to court again when he suddenly died.
Yeah.
So.
But you think it's going to come to that where they are going to challenge their status?
Yes, I do. I really do. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were telling what happened anyhow with Cedars-Sinai purchase.
Well, this is a story about paranoia at its highest. Well, I was on one of the details where we were gathering up papers and things like that from surrounding
neighbors.
Use the
word details now. That sounds like a military term.
It's a very military organization, Scientology. Well, I was at this one lady's house. I was going through her garage and getting out newspapers with her permission. And she said, oh, are you working with the group over there at the new building? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh, who bought that, by the way? I said, oh, Scientology bought it. And then on the way back to the organization, I'd realized I had committed a terrible sin against everyone in Scientology. I had spilled the beans to this poor older woman.
And you told the truth.
And I told the truth. Being a good person, as I thought, I went to my commanding officer and told him that I had said that Scientology was purchasing the building. Well, instantly I was put in solitary confinement.
Now, what does that literally mean?
Well, that means going to a place or a room where you're not in the You're not around other people. You're fed, and you can go to the washroom and things like that, but they want you away from everybody else. It's like you're a leper, pretty much the same way. You're not kept in a room with bars or anything like that. It means when you're expelled from Scientology, you can no longer buy books, get any training or processing, and you're going to be spiritually just dead because you cannot get back into Scientology. So I felt so bad that this was going to happen to me. I said, I'll do anything to keep myself in Scientology on staff. And they said, okay. And one of the real high muckety-mucks was there from Flag himself. He said, okay, if you do an amends project, that means, you know, extra work besides what you're normally doing. I had to do 400 hours of amends projects. That meant
to make up for what
you had
done.
To make up for the horrible thing I'd done. Then I had to circulate a petition to every person in the group of Scientology there asking their permission to be let back into their good graces, which I did, and I don't know how long it took me, a couple months. And I think I waxed every floor in the whole Cedar Sinai building by myself.
Sounds like Martin Luther, who said that he beat himself, starved himself, did everything possible to himself in order to obtain humility because he felt so proud. And then he said, I finally attained it, all to no end, because I was proud of my humility.
I don't know if I was proud after that, but I was back in the good graces of Scientology.
What does flag mean? You use the term flag.
Flag, I was always taught that it was a place where Ron Hubbard set up his headquarters.
The Supreme Commander.
Yes, that was where everything
happened. That
was happened. Flag.
Scientology prides itself on delivering the technology perfectly as it was written by L. Ron Hubbard. But every organization varies in how they apply that. Flag is the place where that technology is truly delivered perfectly.
In other words, quote, Sinai hot off the plates.
That's right.
That's right. Where you get it.
Well, that if you just understand that story and look at it, I was a staff member at the time, and their paranoia is so bad that they inflicted that on one of their staff members just for saying to some older woman who obviously had no tie with the IRS or the CIA or anything.
But no concern for people.
No.
No concern for the soul or the life of the individual.
There's an important logic or datum, you can call it. The greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics in Scientology means that if you're doing something and 10 people get hurt but 20 people gain, then it's okay to hurt the 20 people because you're helping. You're hurting 10 people, but you're helping 20 people.
The end justifies the means.
Yes, that's true.
That's the philosophy. It's an old Jesuit philosophy,
and
he just applied it himself to Scientology. Perhaps could you spell out for our listening audience what it was, Sean, that brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ and out of Scientology?
I'd been out of Scientology and had stopped believing around 1980, and I was working in a place. I had just had my little boy, and I was really becoming aware of the fact that I was responsible for his spiritual growth. I was not only responsible for my own, but for my son. I was working in a place where a Christian lady was working, and she and I became good friends. It had been about a year before I had become aware that I was starting to feel spiritually hungry again. I was having answers or questions that needed answers, and I started coming to my friend and asking her bits and pieces about the Bible and different philosophical things. And for everything she didn't have an answer for, she said, well, let me call my pastor and I'll see what she can tell me. And she would refer me wisely to the Bible. I had been saved at 16, but I wasn't discipled, didn't really know how to follow that. So I fell away. And I, like Keith, believed that the only reason I ever made it out of Scientology was because I'd promised myself to the Lord at 16. But little by little, I worked with my friend Cheryl, and I started reading the Bible. And this time I didn't start with Genesis. I started with the book of John.
Amen.
And I knew I was reading truth. I was reading the truth. And it's kind of an amazing thing. When I felt that hunger and that tugging, it was like Jesus. It was someone pulling at my shoulder. And I asked her, I said, what is this nudge, this feeling that I have? Someone's pulling at my shoulder almost. She said, well, it's Jesus. You need to find out about it.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will open, I will come in and dwell with them. You know, both of you have pointed out something which I want to point out to our listening audience. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul said, I'm concerned about you Christians. As the serpent tricked Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if someone comes and preaches to you another Jesus, whom we have not preached, a different spirit than you have received, another gospel, you might go along with him. That's exactly what happened to you, Keith. You promised your life to Christ at the age of 8. You backslid as you grew older. Your mind was corrupted through your father's influence with Scientology. And the next thing you knew, you were right into the heart of a cult. And you, Sean, were in it, promised yourself to Christ when you were 16 years of age. And both of you are sitting here testifying to the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It is possible for the Christian's mind to be corrupted.
That's a very good point, Dr. Martin.
It is possible for the mind to be twisted away from the truth of the gospel. It's not talking about the loss of salvation. It's talking about the destruction of productivity.
Well, Scientology is one of those cults that appeals to the intellectual. It offers an answer for every question a person can have. Unfortunately, many of the answers were plagiarized from the Bible, and who knows what else.
Well, I think you could safely say that the truth that is in Scientology mm-hmm. is derived from biblical principle.
That's right.
The error was L. Ron Hubbard's twisting of it.
That's right.
That's what he did. You know, a friend of mine wrote him, who came out of Scientology, lives now in Las Vegas, came out of Scientology, had been there a number of years, knew him, and wrote to the great man at Flag and said, I can't buy it anymore, Ron. I have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I passed out of death into life and wrote this beautiful 3 or 4 page testimony to Ron Hubbard, I think within the last 6 or 7 years, of his conversion to Christ and what it meant to him. And he couldn't follow Scientology anymore. Hubbard answered him, personal letter. And it was not a phony signature. It was his, he wrote, signed it Ron, as his friend. And he said to him, I read your letter with great interest. And then he said, and I can receive this. Now, whatever that meant
answer.
To him, he didn't have an answer, you see? And Christ was an answer that, well, Hubbard himself one time said, don't let them think I'm a god. And that's exactly what they ended up making. They're trying to make him one right now mm-hmm. by publicity. Well, anyhow, we're here with Keith and Sean Scott, 5 years in the top levels of Scientology and delivered by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go to our listening audience now. They want to talk to you, not to me. So I'm going to put you on with our listening audience. This is Tom in Modesto, California. Hi, Tom. You're on the air with Keith and Sean.
Hi. How you doing?
Great.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have two short questions, and then I'll get off the phone because I want to hear your answer. Okay, at our laundromats all over town here, and I've seen them like on billboards, they have these personality tests that the Scientology puts out.
Yes.
Now, are these just to get you interested in the thing, or I just want to know what the purpose of those were. And also, earlier you were talking about how the Scientologists have their own language. I was just wondering if you could kind of give an example of what you meant by that, because I'm just not real sure what you're talking about. I'm a Christian. I'm not into Scientology or anything, but...
Thank God.
Well, my wife, she was at the laundromat, like I was telling you, where they have these, and she just threw them in the garbage. And so, I mean, is that a good thing to do? Or so I'm going to get off the phone now. I just want to hear your answer to that.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to address is the personality test, because that's a real catchy thing that they've... I don't know where they got started on it, but they do it all over the place in Hollywood and all their organizations. It's just a simple test that tries to analyze if you're in a depressed mood, if you're anxiety-ridden, and it sort of shows what your personality is like. And what they do is they grade this test, and very scientifically they circle the area that you're low in. Maybe depression would show up, and they'd say, Tom, I see here that you're depressed. Is that true? You're depressed a lot? And you might say, yeah, I've been depressed. Well, Scientology can handle that. They get the test, they grade it, they sit down, they try to isolate your area of trouble or your area of weakness that you might be struggling with, and then they circle it and say, Scientology can help you handle that. And that's called your ruin of your life. That's the area that is most hindering you from functioning well.
Now, could you discuss also the meaning of the term engrams? Now, obviously, when you're taking this test and holding on to these tin cans, the E-meter, mm-hmm. you're giving off electrical impulses, mm-hmm. and the meter is moving. Now, they're interpreting this in terms of what Hubbard told them, and what they end up with is saying that there's something going on in your soul, something in your psyche. Now, can you explain what's going on and what an engram is?
Well, an engram is a moment of pain or unconsciousness that's recorded in your subconscious mind. And what Scientology believes is that all your foul-ups, all your problems, all your hang-ups are caused by these hidden things that happen to you and probably happen in a past life.
In other words, reincarnation is at the core of Scientology.
Absolutely. Ron Hubbard said if you don't go past track in your auditing or past lives, then you're not really getting at the root of what your problem is. You have to go back.
He absorbed this, of course, from Hinduism and from the cults that he was in.
One of the things I was making a note of, Tom wanted an example. Here would be an example. Scientologists would say, I saw this raw meat guy at the laundromat, and he was really out of PT, and his TRs were really way out. I mean, now, to a regular person, that was just a bunch of gibberish. Who knows what that means? Well, raw meat is someone who hasn't been indoctrinated in Scientology. That's one of our catchwords, one of the ex-catchwords. Out of PT means you're not in present time. That means you're in some dream world. Maybe you were drunk, or maybe you were just thinking about something else. That's out of PT, out of present time. TRs means it's very sophisticated. They're training routines. And if you're looking at something and you're overreacting, they could say your TRs were out or your training drills were not in place. So, I mean, as you can see, it's just deeper and deeper you go, the more complex their language is.
Can we come back in a second? This is fascinating. We want to continue with this, but we have a station break. I'll be back with you in just a moment on a subject of the cult of Scientology. On the Bible Answer Man program are Keith and Sean Scott, former Scientologists on a high level who dealt with Scientology and know exactly what it's all about. Our subject is the cult of Scientology. Now, we're using the term cult in the academic sense of the term. You can look it up in the dictionary. We're not using the term cult to portray Scientology as a Jim Jones thing with people drinking cyanide or taking poison. We're talking about it as a group of people who are gathered around the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard, who have raised him to a position of authority and accept his interpretations of the Bible and of every other area of life. That's what we're talking about when we use the term cultic personality and cultic theology. Yeah, something you want to say?
Yeah, an interesting comment I wanted to make is that when we got out of Scientology, we have had the darndest time trying to figure out how to talk to non-Scientologists. We were so fully indoctrinated into their lingo and their concepts. Even now, we'll run across a concept, Keith and I, where we'll want to say something, and we don't know the regular way to say it. And it's kind of frustrating trying to reacquaint ourselves with the normal English language.
Well, this comes about, I've learned this in my long years of dealing with occults, because of what the psychologists call an altered state of consciousness. What's happened to you is that you opened your minds to programming. You were programmed into a specific type of thought process, Hubbard's. You are carbon copies in that area of Hubbard's mind, which was a sick mind. You have absorbed this material. It's become part of your memory banks. And when you get questions or thoughts or something triggers from your programming, then it comes back to you immediately. Mm-hmm. It's part of the corrupted mind that we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, the cure for it is in Philippians chapter 4. Because in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are good, whatever things are virtuous, whatever things build you up, think, concentrate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. See, the God of peace can't be with a Scientologist. The God of peace can't be with a person whose mind is in constant ferment in the thinking processes of L. Ron Hubbard, mm-hmm. You see. Now, Hubbard was an evil genius. Mm-hmm. In terms of having great capacities. But
true.
Hubbard would never stand up for 15 minutes in a dialogue, never could stand up for 15 minutes in dialogue with anybody that could get him into biblical theology. That's the real hole in the dike of Scientology. They have made the mistake, and Hubbard saw it too late, of lifting up the cross, even though they patented it. They made the mistake of adopting Christian terminology.